This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday, September 18th, 2016, and today we are going to be talking about Destruction in Tokyo, which took place yesterday, Saturday the 17th. Damon, it's been a couple of weeks since we last recorded.
Yeah, I know, Miller. I was all prepped and ready to rock and roll with a little road chew discussion. But schedules, unfortunately, got the better of us. Once again, we've been letting down our faithful listeners. So we promise we'll do our best to... Listen, when you hear us talking about, hey, we're going to try and squeeze in a show on a Monday or... Yeah, our schedules aren't quite... You know it's not going to fucking happen.
It's all hearsay.
Right, we're just saying words at that point, because if we can't do it on Sunday, it's hard for us to do it during the week. And but hey, you know, our apologies. So, but we're back and ready to, as they say, rock and roll, a little destruction. This show destroyed my weekend. Well, it was... You know, it wasn't bad. It was
a road to show.
That's what it felt like. Yeah, that's what you were saying. And I questioned the thought process of stretching out these destruction shows over three shows. I don't think we have enough for two. Let's be honest. I don't think we have the buzz for two. And I think this show. And correct me if I'm wrong, Colin, because you're the online guy. I don't really fucking deal with that shit. What was the buzz for? What was the buzz leading into this show? Because I don't think there was any.
Yeah, it didn't seem to me like there was a ton of, you know, like if this was, I don't know, King of Pro Wrestling, for example. You know, I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot more buzz going into that than there was for these three shows. I didn't hear a ton from people online about this. The general consensus seems to be that it was what it was. Not terrible.
Right.
But, you know, nothing blow away either. And
why do you think that was? I mean, do you think it was is it just the lineup? Is it the fact that I'm kind of under the feeling that, look, we know that New Japan has to create new stars. And if there's ever like a finger wag at them, it's sometimes that they, you know, aside from your upper tier guys, it's that middle ground where, you know, the loss of, and again, we hate to keep bringing it up, but the losses of AJ and Nakamura and you know, those are big gaps to fill. We've acknowledged that. We've beaten that horse to death. So they got to elevate some stars, and this is the type of show where you do that, right? This is the type of show that you start to move people up the ladder.
And we did see that a little bit with Kyle O'Reilly.
Yep, I think Kyle O'Reilly. I think there's a couple guys, you know, Kyle O'Reilly on this show, Bobby Fish on this show, obviously Bushi on this show, Juice, I think, on this show. I think Juice took a big step.
Absolutely. He and O'Reilly had a very good match, I thought.
I think so. Yoshihashi as well, I think. So for me, this was like one of those transition shows where New Japan knows they need to kind of re-educate fans, to kind of remind fans and watchers of certain people that may have been, you know, dinged up over the course of the year. And when I say dinged up, I don't mean injured. I just mean, you know, they just look like fucking geeks. You know,
so to borrow a word from Mr. Alvarez.
Right. Speaking of Mr. Alvarez, as we were before we hit the record button. only good things, of course. But yeah, it's almost a re-education that has to occur, and this is the type of show that, you know, it's not a huge show. It's a middle show, and this is where you do these kind of things, and this is what they did, and they had to do it. And the problem with that is that the buzz, the sexiness of the show, you know, takes a beating. It's not a sexy show. Tanahashi's in a 6-man tag, right? Okada's in a 6-man tag. Omega's in a 6-man tag. Elgin is in a 6-man tag. So, you know, guys that we're not used to being on top are on top, and we have to kind of re-educate ourselves. So it had to be done, but yeah, that's what gets hurt, Colin, in this situation is, you know, it doesn't look as sexy. It doesn't feel as sexy. It doesn't feel as important.
Yeah, this was a show that I feel like they could have easily taken all of the top matches and just put it into one show, and it could have felt more special, bigger.
Maybe, but I'll tell you what. Last year, I'm going to throw a number at you. Last year's gate, well, not monetary-wise, but asses and seats-wise, was 2,983 was the number. 2,983. What do you think this year was?
This year for this Destruction show?
Yes.
It was actually 2000.
Oh, you know.
Oh, shit.
Yep. All right. Well, I'll be like, how the fuck did you get that number?
2,803.
That is correct. That is the number that we received. So, I mean, they're neck and neck. A tiny ass hair dip.
Virtually identical.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's with the junior title on top and the never title. And again, guys that are asked to carry shows at this point, right? And they did. So, you know, from a gate perspective, if you could squeeze three of the same gates as opposed to last year's two, wouldn't you do it? From a business perspective?
Yeah, makes sense from that perspective, sure.
Yeah. I mean, but does that hurt in the long run, right?
I think that the result is that you get very mediocre cards.
That's what I'm saying. Like how long can you go to the bank with that? And again, that's part of that re-education process. If in fact these guys become stars of the promotion and at least, you know, hire mid-card guys, you know, if you can draw 2,800 and be comfortable with that and happy with that, or 2,900, I guess you do that, right? Why wouldn't you do it? You kind of protect your bigger stars. I don't want to say take a night off, but you kind of hide them in a 6-man tag and have other guys headline the show. You can't sneeze at that, right? You can't. That's good. That's good for business, right?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that it's kind of cool that we have Kushida and Bushi headlining, and Shibata and Fish.
Yeah.
In the semi-main event, you know, so from that perspective, it's kind of cool. But,
there you go. So what was missing, Colin?
These undercards are tough to sit through. They really are. And let me ask you this question. What is your level of excitement, and be honest, for the next two shows?
The undercards or the top show, the top matches? Like the undercards, I'm watching
just overall, just both shows, the 22nd and the 25th.
I'm okay. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I'm okay. You're okay.
Right. I'm not, you know, looking forward to this week. You know, I can't say I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm
never looking forward to the week. Let me just get that out there right away.
I know that about you. It's more, you know, it's more of, okay, there's a show I'm going to watch. Not like, oh, I can't wait to watch this match, or I can't wait to watch this. And we'll talk. We'll do our previews of these shows, but I don't know. It's it's kind of hard to wrap my finger around it, the excitement level, because it's not like I'm like, oh, you know, I'm dreading it, but it's not like I'm, you know, fired up for it. I'm not, you know, you're not going to get, you know, out of his mind Damon today. It's more of, okay, cool, let's do it, you know.
And on that note, what do you say we do it?
All right, what do you say we do it? Let's do this show, and then we'll move on from there.
Alrighty, so the first match that kicked off the evening was a tag match featuring Roppongi Vice taking on David Finlay and the newest young lion, Henare.
Yeah, from New Zealand, if I'm not mistaken. I like him. What do you think of him? Give me your thoughts on him first, because I have a few myself.
Yeah, I thought that he was pretty good. I mean, this match only lasted about 6 minutes, so it's kind of hard to judge in that time frame. But yeah, I like him. I think that there's a lot of room for improvement, of course. Actually, the main thing I wanted to talk about with this match was, how about those fancy new leopard tights on David Finlay?
I knew you'd love them, right? Well, he's no longer a young lion, right?
Right.
So he's kind of in that tweener role of somewhat, he's kind of like that, kind of like where Juice is, right? New Japan even sent out a tweet saying that he's no longer a young lion.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's juicing.
The tights stink. I got to be honest with you. I'm not a big fan.
They remind me of something like the Heavenly Bodies would wear or something. Like the Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey.
Speaking of which, I was watching a shit ton of Smoky Mountain this weekend.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny because I was just listening to Brian and Dave talk about Smoky Mountain.
Oh, really?
Earlier, yeah.
Okay. I think 95 I'm watching. I'm watching a lot of 90. Buddy Landell and Tommy Rich and Cornette's Army and all that stuff. Yeah, I'm watching a lot of Smoky Mountain. And, oh, my God, they have this fucking theme song, like their opening song to the show. It is like this, like, bluesy jam. Here comes pro wrestling coming to your town. It's Smoky Mountain. But it's this song that's like, oh, you hear it 700 times. And it's like, oh, this fucking dumb song. It's on YouTube. You know, if you go on YouTube, it's just search for Smoky SMW. I think if you look at the 95 stuff is when, and you'll hear that song and your head will explode. How do we get into Smoky Mountain? Oh, David Finlay's tights. I want to talk a little bit about Henare too. So to me, where are the other young lions?
Where, like, are the other young lions?
Right? So, like, he's worked every fucking show. He's definitely kind of springboarding himself and making himself the top young lion rather quickly. Because he worked the that last Road 2 show. This show, the Road 2 show from the 12th, the one on the 4th he worked as well. I kind of think New Japan thinks he's like the top young lion. I kind of think of him right now as the top young lion. I think he's higher than that, Kawato and Kenny Mitsu.
Yeah, I can't even tell you the last time I saw them.
Yeah, I think they were on the 4th show, the September 4th show, but that was broadcasted late. I think it's on the network. It was on Samurai. I think that's where I saw it, on Samurai. Yeah, I mean, he's working a lot of shows. You know what it reminds me of? And this is maybe a simple analogy. It might be a little simple comparison. He reminds me of a very young Taz.
That, actually, I can see that. I can see that.
He reminds me of a very, very young green Taz. I don't know. There's something about him I like. I like his look. I like it. He's snappy bumps. All right. But yeah, this was what, 4 minutes? They got a little bit more offense than I thought on Roppongi Vice.
Yeah, basically how the match went was the Young Lions really worked over Rocky Romero. Romero finally makes the hot tag to Beretta. Beretta hits the Tornado DDT and the Dude Buster on Henare for the win. David Finlay must be happy that he has someone who he can team up with who can take the falls now.
this is very true. Yeah, again, new look. I'm not a fan of it. I don't know. He's very pale. Like, I don't know why. I never noticed his paleness as much as with these new tights. He really brings out his whiteness.
I look at David Finlay and I think to myself, man, you know, if I worked out really hard and watched my diet, right, I could probably look like David Finlay.
Yeah, if you really like hit the gym often and yeah, he's got that everyman bod.
He's a very attainable physique, is what I'm saying.
He's not Rick Rude. Let's put it that way.
No.
What'd you think? I mean, decent match. Yeah. I mean, what is it? Opening match.
But yeah, decent opener. Nothing wrong with it at all.
No. All right. Enough of that. Very good.
All right, our next match. You're going to love this one, Damon.
I did.
We have the team of the Bullet Club Hunters, Yoshitatsu and Captain New Japan, taking on Nakanishi and Nagata.
Okay. So let's work our way backwards first, right? So you're familiar with what happened on this Road 2 show, right? With Yoshitatsu getting on the mic?
Yeah, getting increasingly frustrated.
Yes, with Captain New Japan. And he gets on the mic and he's like, hey, fans, take to Twitter and, you know, tell me what you think. Should we break up this horseshit team or not, right? First of all, does Yoshitatsu come across as the least sympathetic character in all of pro wrestling? You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel sorry for him at all. Like, yeah, he teams up with a fucking Jay Brown, but not for nothing. You know, if I'm kayfabing, wow, a lot of wrestling terms in this one sentence here.
What a mark.
I know. You know, I'm looking at Yoshitatsu. I'm saying, you know, you're not picking up any wins, pal. Jerk off, right? Well, Captain New Japan's losing many of these falls, all of them. But, you know, you're not winning any of them either. No, he just comes across as a prick. If I'm Captain New Japan, I'm like, go fuck yourself. I don't know why I care. But
yeah,
yes.
Well, you know what they say? What's the old expression? It takes two to tango, right?
Yes, a tag team, Colin. This is a team. You're supposed to work together as a cohesive unit, as Gorilla Monsoon would say.
This place has gone bananas.
Right, they're literally hanging off the rafters. You know, he should probably check his medulla oblongata. Or his trapezius muscles. We're doing Gorilla Monsoon-isms. Will you stop it? All right, enough. Growing up, I hated Gorilla Monsoon.
Really?
Fucking hated. Oh, on commentary? I loathed him. But, you know, as I have grown older and wiser, like him and Heenan are just like side-splittingly hilarious.
See, really I prefer him in Ventura.
Yeah. I liked him and Heenan. Like him, like if you go back and watch old prime times,
yeah.
The matches were, it was like 3 hours of squash matches. I don't know how we put up with it back in the day. I really don't. It would be like Dino Bravo against Barry O, or AJ Petruzzi or whatever.
Your favorite.
He was my favorite jobber.
Probably doing roofing somewhere.
That's what you're saying. I know. We still haven't come across him, Colin. You still haven't found a way to get in touch with AJ.
One of these days when people listen to the PuroCast, you're going to hear the intro. Hi, this is AJ Petrucci.
Hey, speaking of intros, did you get your fucking Ventura gimmick?
Yes, I did, actually. Yeah.
Okay, all right, so let's get... fuck Yoshitatsu, Captain New Japan for a second. Just put it on pause for a second. We got to get to this. So this was last Sunday, right?
Yeah, last Sunday I went to Rutgers University because Mr. Jesse the Body Ventura was doing a book signing there to promote his new book, his Marijuana Manifesto.
Oh.
And I got to...
Well, marijuana's illegal, Colin. I hope you understand this.
Hey, and it's legal in 25 states, buddy.
All right, well, medically.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Medicinal marijuana. Anyhow,
all right.
Yeah, I got a chance to get my picture with the governor and ask a few questions, say a few words. And
what did you ask? I need to know what you asked.
I did ask him. I asked him one political question and one wrestling question afterwards. I'll give you the wrestling question,
please.
So
should there be no governments and we abolish all laws? Yes. Tell me about your time in New Japan.
Yeah, so when I was getting my photo after he got done speaking, you know, I was getting my book signed, I was getting a photo. I said, you know, Governor, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it. I have one very obscure question for you, and I don't know if you're even going to remember this or not, but...
Senile old goat.
But back in the 80s... you wrestled Antonio Inoki one time in Tokyo. Any memory at all of that? And he was like, oh, yeah. The main thing that I remember about it was...
He shot on me.
No, the main thing that he remembers was that during the flight down and back, they played Annie Hall, the movie Annie Hall, and he said that it sucked.
That's what he remembers.
Yep. That is his memory of flying to Tokyo, because he said it was the only match that he was going over there for.
Well, he did. He did like two or three matches. He wasn't there long, right? Remember we went over that last
Yeah, week? I think you said that he wrestled Fujinami.
Wrestled Fujinami. He was in a tag with like Kengo Kimura, I think. And then Inoki, yeah.
Yeah, but that was his main takeaway from Japan. He hated the flight because they showed Annie Hall twice and it sucked. So Jesse Ventura, obviously not a Woody Allen fan.
No. Did you get the voicer? Did you get the...
I wasn't going to bother him with that.
Oh, boo.
I did get a picture, though, so maybe I'll tweet that out.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody would love to see that. I would love to see that.
Me and the governor.
The governor. All right, there you go. There's your Jesse update. I'm glad he could share all his tales of Japan with a fucking flight.
Yep. Annie Hall. Annie sucked.
Yeah, I never saw Annie Hall. Not my cup of tea. All right, so we got this match to talk about, Colin. So I bitched and moaned about Yoshitatsu. I bitched and moaned about Captain New Japan.
Well, there's not really a whole lot to talk about here.
No.
Captain New Japan misses the flying headbutt.
Right.
He tried to steal a few on Nagata with a few sneaky roll-ups, but of course that didn't work. There was a double suplex spot by Nakanishi where Yoshitatsu and Captain tried to suplex him, but they failed. The former Olympian overpowered them. And then eventually Yuji Nagata hits the exploder suplex on Captain for the win.
Yeah, that's you nailed it. You did better than I could, because I couldn't even get the strength to write that shit down.
Right? That was the match in a nutshell.
It's just and then you still haven't gotten the payoff. You still haven't gotten the payoff of Yoshitatsu and Captain New Japan and somebody pissing somebody off and them coming to blows. We're waiting for that to happen. We're on the edge of our seats waiting for the split up of the Bullet Club Honors. It's like Orndorff Hogan. Look, to this point, this is a color by numbers, carbon copy undercard of any single New Japan show that you could possibly say, right? I mean, this is we've seen all of this, and that's the biggest challenge and biggest struggle that I have, is that a lot of this stuff, especially when you watch every single show, a lot of this is repetitive and the same old. I wonder if people have the same complaints. I mean, the people who listen to this show, they by and large watch every show, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, you know, there were listeners on Twitter actually asking me, like, hey, why aren't all of these Row 2 shows up on New Japan World?
Yeah.
And my first thought was, like, who fucking cares?
Right, go outside.
Yeah, but no.
Smell the fresh air. Smell the sunshine, I was going to say. You can't smell sunshine, Colin.
Yeah, as far as I know, you can't smell sunshine yet.
Yet. Well, we were promised.
Yeah, there were listeners who were actually very deeply concerned that these Road 2 shows weren't on the world.
Wow. Well, look, God bless you. I mean, if that's... I was about to say, maybe they're bigger fans than we are, but...
We do a New Japan podcast. I don't know if you're aware of this.
I know. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. Listen, you know, Eric... Our good pal, who does the real hero updates. You know, he always like these fucking Noah shows, right?
Right.
That are just the dirt worst, you know. And he's like, why am I even recording this shit and uploading it? But he checks, and lo and behold, you know, it's what I can't say it's one of the most popular things, but it's a popular thing that people watch and download. And he's like, all right, the numbers are there, so I'll keep throwing it up there. Somebody's watching this shit. I mean, and we're watching this shit, but I just can't imagine anybody getting excited about, you know, a Yoshitatsu, Captain New Japan, you know, Yuji Nagata, Minoru Nakanishi match. I just, you've seen it 1,000 times. What new is there to sink your teeth into? Is Tatsu, Captain New Japan breaking up really that fucking vital to your life? I don't get it.
Well, maybe Nakanishi and Nagata are going to make a run for the tag titles.
Oh, fuck that noise. Come on. We don't want that. Nobody wants it. I'll tell you what. The only thing I want to see tag team title-wise is a Goto Ishii tag team. That's what I want to see. Why don't we have that? That'd be good, right?
Well, we did see them team together later on in the card.
We did. All right, so this match was... you know what? We're sitting here and we're kind of like, ugh. This match wasn't that bad, was it? It wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't terrible. It was just, you know, we've seen it a thousand times before.
That's what it is. That's the challenge I have with this show is... We've seen it a thousand times, it felt like. At least at this point, it felt like. All right, what's next?
All right, next up, we've
got... more of the same.
Yep, we've got a six-man tag here featuring the team of Tenkozy and Jushin Thunder Liger taking on GBH and Tiger Mask. Honestly, I thought that the best stuff in this match was when Liger and Honma were in the ring together.
Yeah. That's the one thing that you can get from these multi-man tag matches where you have the heavyweights and the juniors. Every once in a while, you get that junior heavyweight matchup that's, you know, that's a little tantalizing, right? And the finish surprised me. I did not expect Liger to drop the fall to Honma, right? It was a Kokeshi, right?
Yeah, it was a top rope Kokeshi, which kind of plays into what I've been talking about for a couple of weeks now in the podcast of Honma picking up I don't want to say all these wins, but a lot more wins than usual.
Yeah, that lovable loser character, that's dead, right? We could put that to rest. It's done. It's
yeah. Charlie Brown has kicked the football.
Right. It's you know, so we can't come to the table with that anymore. We can't come to the table with lovable loser. Holmes.
They killed that.
I mean, it is a junior, right? It is Liger, a junior. If you put a gun to my head and said, who's taking the fall here, I probably would have said Tiger Mask. But yeah, maybe this is it, you know, Honma does need a little bit of rehab, right? He does need a little bit of a, you know, he's a little dinged up in the fans' eyes, I would think, right?
I feel like a year ago, if you would have asked who was taking the fall, you would have said Honma. Like a year ago, he would have been the most logical choice to take the fall here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even with the juniors. I still would have said Tiger Mask, probably, but yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, this show just felt like reestablishing people. That's what it really felt like. It was a reestablishing, and this match was an example of that as well. Of anybody who needed the rehab, it would be Honma, right? Honma. Yeah, he needed the rehab, and he got it, and that's that.
Yeah, so there you go. Decent match.
Again, nothing was terrible. Nothing was terrible. I thought this was a pretty good match. I didn't hate it. I thought it was all right. I feel like this review is a shoulder shrugging, you know, and it can't be for riveting radio or riveting audio, but it was, and that's the feeling I got the minute I hit stop on our stream of the show. It was shoulder shrug. Okay.
All right, the next match, we had the Gorillas of Destiny and Woo! Chase Owens. What a team there. Taking on Goto, Ishii, and Ghetto. Well, I want to say that this might surprise you, actually. I thought that... Now, this isn't saying much, but I thought that Tongaloa probably looked the best that he ever has, and it may have been that he was in there with Ishii.
Yeah, that'll do it.
When he was in there with Ishii, I was like, "Wow, you know, Tongaloa, he's doing pretty good here." He's
if you could do one thing to Tongaloa, what would you do? How would you improve Tongaloa?
I was thinking something. I'm not gonna say it.
I'm kind of thinking. Jumping in front of a train.
Well, actually, here's something simple, and it's something.
Is he? Okay, yeah. Give me your one thing.
It's something that Tama Tonga did in this match. He took off that ridiculous Rite Aid makeup.
Yeah.
Now Tongaloa, yeah. He's still rocking that. He still had half of his face painted up, but there's just one example. I mean, it's kind of a. Minor stupid thing, but get rid of that makeup.
I think you're right. I think the minute you see makeup, you think instant indie jobber. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Just an indie weekend warrior pro wrestler. I do too. Get rid of it. And Tama Tonga, he didn't wear makeup for, I feel like we're talking about like, you know, like The Cure or something. He didn't wear makeup for the show.
Kiss.
Yeah, Kiss, right. Right. He didn't wear makeup the show. So, and previous. So, yeah, I think you're onto something there. And it does seem like minor and like splitting of hairs. But yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think that's one thing. To me, it's more of his pacing of a match. Like when he comes in, you know, the match slows down. You know what I mean? Like it's just, and that's just his style. And that might be like a WWE style more than anything else, because really that's where he really cut his teeth. Right.
Yeah. He did come from that farm system.
Right. And the difference between him coming from that farm system and a guy like Juice coming from that farm system is, and we're going to talk about Juice in a second.
We are.
But Juice knew well enough that he needed to start from square one, whereas Tangaloa came in thinking that he could do what he did before and it would work. And it doesn't. It's not the same.
Hey, they were tag champions.
They were, Colin.
But, so I guess it did work.
Well, yeah, but what does that mean? Like those tag belts are beyond worthless at this point.
Well, pretty soon they're going to mean something.
They're going to mean something for you? Okay. All right.
Pretty soon.
Okay. I know you're excited.
Bucks are going to have them. The Bucks are going to have, they're going to have both IWGP tag titles. They're going to have the PWG tag titles. Mm-hmm. They're going to win the ROH tag titles.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be quadruple tag champions.
Smoky Mountain tag champions.
Yeah, Smoky Mountain tag champions, ECW tag champions.
We fucking got it going on. take them all. Get them all the belts. But yeah, I mean, you know, so I think that speaks volumes too. So, yes. What'd you think of the match?
The match?
The match. Yep, the match.
The best stuff. Yeah. Was when Ishii was in there,
just yeah, well, that's
beating
always...
ass.
He's doing what?
Just beating people.
Oh, I thought you said he was eating ass. I'm like, well, I don't understand how that made it great.
Beating, Damon.
Beating. I missed the B. I stepped all over your B there. Now I can't stop thinking about Ishii doing terrible things in the ring. Look. Anytime you get in the ring with Ishii, he brings it. And that we know this. This was a struggle to this point. This first half of the show, let's be brutally honest, was a struggle. This didn't help any. This match. And trust me, when I heard that Bullet Club music, I was just like, oh, man, Jesus Christ. Here we go. So, you know, instantaneously, I was tapping out in my head.
So Ishii hits the brainbuster on Tangaloa for the pin, and that's the ball game.
That's all, folks. Yeah. Yep. Nothing. So let me ask you this. Of all these matches so far, which one are you saying? Somebody says, hey, I want to watch this Destruction show, but I only have 20 minutes in my busy, hectic. Wait a minute. Hear me out. In my busy, hectic day. Now, I'm going to watch the second half, but give me a match that I'm going to watch. I just want to watch one match, Colin. What match am I watching?
Probably the Young Lions versus Roppongi Vice.
Yeah, I'm going...
that's what I found most enjoyable.
I might go Liger, Kojima, Tenzan.
Yeah, but there's a bias. There's a built-in bias there.
You might be right. You might be right.
Tattoo.
What? What did you say?
Tattoo.
Opener? All right, fuck it. I'll go opener. Fine. Opener.
Yeah,
watch
the opener.
The opener.
Now, here's where business kind of picks up here, because we have a very interesting match, one that I was very much looking forward to on this card.
Really?
On this card. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Just because of I wanted to see how Juice would fare up against Kyle O'Reilly. And what we got was probably Juice Robinson's best performance in New Japan to date.
I would tend to agree. He had a match on one of those Lion Gate shows. Is it Lion Gate? Or I always mix up
Lions
the book
Gate.
And the show. I think I called it Lion's Pride last time.
That is a book by our buddy Chris Charlton.
Yeah.
Check it out. Amazon.com.
Yeah, it's very good. The one thing about that book is it's very hard to do to cram in. You know, they've been running in business since 1972. To cram in all the history into a book that's, to do the history justice and not make it, War and Peace, it's a tough thing to do. And he struck the balance on that. So good job by him, as always. So, yeah, if you haven't picked up that book, we gave away a book one time, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, you gave away an extra copy.
Yeah, I remember that. Lion's Pride. There you go, kids. Go get it.
Juice Robinson versus Kyle O'Reilly.
Right. Thank you. I lost my train of thought there. First of all, let's talk a little bit about K-O-R.
Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah, Kyle O'Reilly. That's hope. What the fuck is that man eating?
Yeah, he has been gaining a little bit of weight, to say the
little
least.
A little bit of weight. He looks like he's jacked up now.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, Chase Owens, gaining weight.
it's poor Chase.
I know, really. Seriously. This is terrible. Me talking about somebody gaining weight. It's hilarious.
Oh, we're going to get into that in a little bit, too.
Me gaining weight?
Yeah, I have a good Fale analogy.
Oh, no.
Coming up.
Are you going to compare me to Fale?
Maybe.
You fuckface.
Let's not jump ahead, though.
I don't like this. All right. I'm very self-conscious about it.
I'm kidding.
All right. So, Kyle O'Reilly. Yes, he has. He's put on some weight, muscular weight.
Yeah, spending a little extra time in the gym, consuming some more protein.
Yeah, he's got a couple extra chicken breasts that he's downing. But it looks good on him. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's helping him kind of, again, re-education, legitimatize. Is that the word I'm looking for? Legitimatize?
Legitimize.
Legitimize. Okay. English is my second language. it's helping him. So yeah, but it's noticeable. He's definitely packed on a good 5 to 10 pounds of muscle. Juice. Let's talk juice. Can we talk juice?
Let's talk some juice.
All right. You know, we were easy to lay the boots to juice right around this time a year ago, weren't we, Colin?
We were, because it didn't seem like juice was really adding anything or bringing much to the table.
Exactly. And we know he, from his CJ Parker, it was CJ Parker,
yep,
right?
CJ Parker.
Okay.
Mr. So Save the Whales, Hug a Tree.
Yep, doing his whole hippie gimmick in NXT. So we were familiar with him. So we knew that he had a back, he could at least perform and have a match. I mean, again, he wasn't, Ricky Steamboat, but, we know he could have a match. He gets to New Japan, and we knew that he was going there and he was going to basically start from scratch, right? But Juice was patient. Juice was more patient than we were. Like, he's done, Colin, exactly what we wanted him to do, but we weren't patient enough to let him do what he needed to do. Like, we were quick to lay the boots and hand wave and fuck it. We were about instant gratification with Juice, right? And I think we were wrong. Because if you look at it in hindsight, and again, hindsight is what, Colin?
2020.
It's 2020. He's done exactly what he's wanted to do. He's reset. He's rebuilt. He started from scratch. He's relearning. He's wiping the clay sleen,
The
clay sleen. He's wiping the clay sleen, hashtag clay sleen, and he's building up his value, and that takes time. And while we're into instant gratification of Juice, give me a good fucking match, we know you can do it. He's taking his time, and he's doing the right thing. He's going long-term where we wanted instant gratification. We wanted it to be now. He was willing to wait.
He's doing what's best for business, Damon.
For him, yes, absolutely correct. You know, it's like, let's say he was a baker, right? and we knew he could bake cakes, and they were good cakes, and they were delicious cakes, and they were nice cupcakes, right? But now he's going on to an apprenticeship at a French pastry place, whatever. I don't know what the fuck. And he's washing. But wait, he's hear me out, and he's washing dishes, right?
Right.
And he's washing dishes for weeks, and we're like, Juice, make me a fucking cupcake, make me a fucking croissant, make me something delicious. He's washing fucking dishes. And then eventually he picks up the fucking, the mixing bowl. He's fucking whisking. But that's all he's doing. He's whisking. Whisk, 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 whisk. Enough with the whisking, we're saying. But he's saying, be patient. And then the next thing you know, he's making a small sponge cake. And it's delicious. It's pretty good. Not bad. I mean, there's no frosting on it, Colin. But it's good sponge cake.
Right.
Right? Pretty soon, we're going to get a cupcake. I think we got a cupcake here. We got a cupcake, right?
Yeah. I would say this was a cupcake. should we do the butcher and candlestick maker analogies now? Should
Why
we do
not?
That?
I'm not really up on my candlestick making. I think you just fucking make the candle, don't you? I don't really think there's an apprenticeship for making a fucking candle.
Yeah, so Juice Robinson, I think that we got a cupcake here.
Yes, we did get a cupcake here. Absolutely. I don't know how we got into cupcake analogies with pro wrestling. But yes, but you see my point, people, right? We weren't patient. This match, I don't want to say it's a culmination of everything that Juice has picked up and relearned, but this was a damn fine match. Now, again, he's in there with Kyle O'Reilly, who arguably is one of the best in the business today. But still, I think Juice did a very good job in keeping up. I think Juice did a very good job in his selling. People are always, quick to point out the people's pluses and minuses when it comes to selling. I really feel like he did an outstanding job in this match. He showed fire. Not a lot of goofiness with Juice in this match. I'm on board, Colin. I think this was his best New Japan match so far. And what this did was, again, it established him as a credible mid-carder. Right. And I think the Nakanishi stuff, too, earlier in the year helped that, too. You know, looking back on it, you kind of we eye rolled that. Right.
Yeah, we did.
But it kind of set a stage a little bit. Right. He's taking on this big monster, established veteran,
former Olympian,
somewhat of a legend. Right. In New Japan. I would dare to say that, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, so for him to kind of, in these matches, he may not have always gotten the long end of the stick, but he fought and he showed his own and he showed fire, and even in this match, he showed fire. So, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing the juice.
You're seeing the juice at the end of the tunnel.
I'm seeing the juice at the end of the tunnel, Colin. Absolutely. So I'm curious. That was my rant. That was my rambling on about Juice. Well, give me your thoughts. What'd you think?
I agree with everything that you said. The selling, number one. We saw Kyle O'Reilly really get the upper hand early on in this match and work over Juice's left arm a lot. And you mentioned that fire. Juice did show a lot of that fire. You know, when Kyle O'Reilly is just kicking the shit out of him and Juice does his, come on, MF-er, and
yeah,
I like that.
You like the language?
I did like Juice's fire, his willingness to get the piss kicked out of him by Kyle O'Reilly. O'Reilly was just dominating with strikes until Juice hits a big spine buster. Juice hit a nice lariato and a power bomb in this, but Kyle O'Reilly catches him in a triangle there after the power bomb. Juice managed to counter. Kyle O'Reilly hits the brain buster, then he goes into the cross arm breaker, and then into what I would call a knee bar, and Juice is forced to tap out. But yeah. Very good showing by Juice, lots of fire, great selling. I hope that we see more of this Juice in the future, and I think it's a matter of, in order to get good at anything, you have to work with, people who are better or as good as you, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, NFL football players need to play with other NFL football players, right?
Yeah, Colin. There you go. You know, Colin, you did pretty good today on the like we were talking about. We're recording a little early today, and I made a wise crack at Colin saying that he wanted to catch the American football games that usually start at 1 o'clock, and he threw out two teams, and it wasn't ridiculous the matchup that he said that he was excited to see. It wasn't.
I said Ravens versus the Steelers.
Yeah, which is a rivalry. You know, that's not a crazy thing to say. It would be kind of like a for those over in Europe, maybe would understand maybe a derby game, a United City, something like that. All right, nobody cares.
But yeah, point that I was trying to make though is, you know, Juice doesn't need to be in there with Captain New Japan. He needs to be in there with guys like Kyle O'Reilly and a Bobby Fish and an Ishii, a Goto, you know, experienced veterans like that, guys who are better than him so he can learn and be a better asset to the company.
That's the key. Now, I was going to ask you, with Juice, what's Juice's ceiling?
What is Juice's ceiling? That's a good question. I mean, my first natural instinct is to say never title.
Okay.
I don't think he's quite there yet.
Right. I don't think so either. I think he's tag belt level, right? I think you could definitely see him in a tag belt level.
Now, I will say this. Go ahead. Let me just sneak this in. A change of looks goes a long way.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement. I'm not a big fan of the dreads. How do you keep dreadlocks clean?
I have no idea.
I don't know either. Like, isn't the whole thing how you make dreadlocks? Isn't that just like a dirty thing to begin with? And I don't mean that in a necessarily a bad way, but it's like to form a dreadlock, you have to constantly twirl your hair, right, and not wash it, right?
Isn't I it guess
right? I think this is how they're made, right? Ugh. Gross.
I'm not really up on dreadlock making.
No? All right. The Rastafarian look. Here's my biggest fear with Juice, though. There's a lot of Juice talk today, by the way.
Yeah, this is a Juice-heavy podcast.
Yeah, if you like the Juice, you're getting it today. Here's my fear with the Juice. Juice learns, resets himself, becomes a much better pro wrestler, a much better talent, and he leaves. You know, it's like New Japan invests all this. And again, you have that fear with just about anybody at this day and age. But, you know, I don't see him being a full-time New Japan guy in 3 years. Do you still see him with New Japan?
Probably not. And no. like you were saying, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, when they're struggling in the evil empire, they go to Japan or whatever, or they go to the Indies and they make a name for themselves there. And then as a result, they get a couple extra zeros added on to the contract when they come back to New York. And I kind of think that's Juice's mindset right now. I mean, I don't know the guy. I haven't talked to him. I could be completely wrong. Maybe he really wants to stay in Japan and loves being in Japan. I mean, I don't know. But that's, like, logically looking at it, I think that's Juice's path.
Does that infuriate you at all? Like, does that make you a little, like we're like a rehab facility?
No, not
because everybody
really.
Who leaves everybody who leaves WWE, you know, you hear the names, the fucking Cody Rhodes and the
you hate Cody Rhodes.
I don't hate Cody Rhodes. I just don't see it. I don't see the Cody Rhodes, man. And people, there are people that like him, and God bless. And here's the thing. I don't think. Let me take that back. I don't mind Cody Rhodes. I don't think he's a New Japan guy at all. Like, I just don't see that.
I don't think that Ryback Ryan Reeves is a New Japan guy either.
I don't, and anybody who leaves, like, oh, they can go to New Japan. Oh, they can go to New Japan. Oh, they can go to New Japan. It's like, you know what? Not for nothing. I don't think New Japan needs all these people. Like Alberto Del Rio. Like, I don't fucking want Alberto Del Rio in New Japan.
Well, he's got a restaurant he's opening up, so I think he'll be fine.
You gonna go? You gonna go get a burrito?
I don't even know where it's at.
I think Texas, right? Did I just read that right?
Hey, I'll go.
You're gonna go specifically for that?
Yep. just to eat at Alberto Del Rio's restaurant. But
I'm sure the food is 3 stars, just like his matches.
Look, here's the thing about what you were saying. If that is what he is doing, which we don't know, but if that is what he's doing, am I going to fault him for that? No, not at all. But do I want New Japan to turn into this place where these WWE rejects go to continue to make money and, you know, make a name for themselves? No, I don't want it to turn into that at all. There's a delicate balance that you have to play there with taking in these guys.
Yeah. And you know, I just, to me, I don't know. It feels to me like it's like, you know, there's going to be a lot of time and effort and blood, sweat, and tears put into a guy like Juice. And again, I'm saying, like, you know, like, this is definitely going to happen. I don't know jack shit, but, you know, if you ask me today where Juice is going to be in 2 or 3 years, I think he's back over here. I mean, and I don't know that for sure, but I don't know, that whole process leaves a little bit, I don't know, kind of makes, you know, I do a New Japan podcast, Colin. I don't know if you know this.
I do.
But, you know, so it's, you know, I kind of have a little bit of an allegiance to my brand, and I like to see my brand do well. I like to see my brand make money, and I like to see my, I don't want to think of my brand as a developmental system for places where people feel they can do better. At the end of the day, I want my place to be a place where people want to go and not have it be, oh, I'm out of the top brand, I'm going to go here. You know, we're second fiddle. But, you know, truth be told, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say that in the whole gigantic world of pro wrestling that, you know, New Japan, you know, isn't behind the Monster. You know, it isn't behind the WWE. I think we all know that. I think we all can all admit that. I think it's just in these types of cases where they didn't see it in Juice. Juice found a way to make it for himself. I don't know. What the fuck am I talking about? Who cares, right? It's Juice. He's going to do what's best for him, right?
At Juice is going to do what's best for Juice.
Juice screwed Juice.
So that was the final match before intermission. Now, before we get into the next match, they aired this time bomb promo again. Mm. Now,
white coat, white shoes, black hat, Cadillac. You know that song?
No, I don't.
Rancid. Boys of Time Bomb. You know,
I don't listen to Rancid, Damon.
God, Rancid. You make it sound like it's like, you know, North Korean propaganda I'm asking you to listen to. It's fucking up, you know, a ska punk.
I don't listen to Kim Jong-un. Apologies to any of our North Korean listeners.
I think we have none. all right, so what's your point here? What?
All right, we're going to talk about this time bomb promo. Okay. I'm going to have a little bit of fun here. You know how I like to have fun on this podcast.
You do like to have fun. I like that about you.
I like to put out these wild conspiracy theories. And
if this is fucking Daniel Bryan.
No, it's not. It's not. Now, now the word on the street is that this is probably Minoru Suzuki who's coming back. Yeah, I think so, probably. And that's great. I hope Suzuki does come back. He's the man. But how about this? How about this scenario for you? You're going to be enraged. So how about King King of Pro Wrestling?
Okay.
You know, we've got Okada versus Marufuji.
Yeah.
You know, the two of them will have a great match, I'm sure. Okada will pick up the win. He'll get on the mic afterwards. He'll cut a promo about how he is the best in the world.
Oh,
and then
no.
All of a sudden, the lights go down. And you hear, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Oh.
And Cult of Personality starts playing, and out comes CM Punk.
Colin, you lost your fucking marbles.
What do you think of that, Taman?
Look.
And CM Punk challenges Okada for the IWGP heavyweight title.
I'll tell you what. You got, I I'm not going to do a wacky radio bit here for you. There's no shot of that happening. I can honestly, 100%. I'm not even going to give you 99%. It is a 100% guarantee. That there is no way that will occur.
All right.
I'm just I'm saying it right now. He doesn't want to do it.
I know. I'm having fun. I actually think it's going to be Mickey Gall.
awesome, actually. You think it's going to be Suzuki?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Suzuki.
Is that what everybody's saying online?
Yeah. Because apparently that's one of the things that Suzuki says. He talks about time bombs in his promos.
Mm-hmm. That is true. I never put the two and two together, to be quite frank. Can I throw a name out?
Sure.
Maybe it's your boy. Could it be your boy?
My boy? You know which boy?
You know Butch Boy. The Golden Star.
Oh, yeah. I don't think so.
Why?
I don't think that... Well, number one, Ibushi, he's going to be wrestling in DDT in December.
Okay.
Like, right after... I think it's like right after the NXT show that they're doing in Osaka.
Okay.
I think Ibushi, here's the thing. I think that he just wants to do like dates here and there. I don't think he wants a full-time schedule.
Okay. Why can't he just go and do that?
Because it's pointless then. Because if Ibushi's going to come back, I want him to be, number one, I don't want him to be in DDT. I want him to be in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Okay. He was in both before.
And I want him to be... Yeah, but look what we... I mean...
What did we get? What? And
we got great matches, but... Okay, so he challenged for the IC title. He lost. He challenged for the heavyweight title. He lost. He challenged for the NEVER title. He lost. And this is all in 1 year.
Okay. Kota Ibushi is a little bit more mainstream now. I think Japan has... If New Japan were going to invest in a Kota Ibushi... And again, I'm not saying he's this time bomb, so let's... You know, let's...
It's CM Punk.
It's rancid. My point being is that he's a different guy. You know, he's got a lot more mainstream popularity, so to speak, especially in North Americans' eyes than he did, you know, 6 months ago, right?
Yeah, he's the belle of the ball.
Yeah. For him to come back. Let me be point blank here. You think Kota Ibushi is coming back? And do you think he will be at the Tokyo Dome come January 4th?
No, I really don't. No. I honestly don't. I think that he's like perfectly content just doing little spot shows in Japan and, you know,
you don't think that
playing around with his whatever it is.
I don't know.
His school or his...
Oh, his institute, his learning institute?
Yeah, yes, his learning institute.
Yeah, he's getting knowledge for his learning institute. Well, listen, I think, yeah, listen, he's a strange bird, but something's whispering in my ear that we're going to see Kota Ibushi come January 4th.
Did you hear this on the street?
I was on the corner.
Okay, work in the corner.
Colin.
Typical Saturday for Damon.
I got to pay the mortgage somehow. Hey, mister. People whisper to me. I don't know why I'm talking like I'm dice or something.
Snakes.
Hickory dickory dock. Kabushi at the dome on the 4th. Hey! Thank you very much. Okay. All right. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if you say it.
All right, well, I think it's Suzuki, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, time bomb, I wouldn't be surprised. I've heard those whispers too. I really don't know who it is. I'm gonna be truthful. I really don't know. But yeah, that'd be awesome. I miss him. I don't like him in Noah anymore. I'm sick of him in Noah. I'm sick of Suzuki Goon, actually. You know, if he comes back, does that mean we get all the misfits?
Probably.
Ugh, fuck. Taichi.
Hey, at least we get to hear the most amazing theme song in pro wrestling again.
It is the best, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
All right. Take the good with the bad.
Next match after intermission, we've got the team of Yoshihashi, Kazuchika Okada, and Will Ospreay taking on the Tokyo Pimp, Yujiro Takahashi, Kenny Omega, and Bad Luck Fale. Okay, first of all, Takahashi, with his new Godfather gimmick, comes out with 1, 2, 3, 4 girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
4 girls on his arm, and Omega takes 2 of them and he hands the briefcase to one.
Yeah, I did see that. Hey, listen, it's a big show, Colin. You know, we're gonna wheel out the ladies for the Tokyo Pimp. if you will. So, yeah, good for him. He is in full Godfather mode, isn't he?
he really is.
It's really gotten embarrassingly similar. But I can't say anything bad about him because we're going drinking. So don't ruin my gimmick.
Bad Luck Fale continuing his feud with the ring announcer. And I actually had someone on Twitter ask me, like, what does Fale have against the ring announcer? And I said, he's just a big bully. But then I thought about it. Uh-huh. And
there's more thought that went into this?
Okay. Oh yeah, there was more thought than I thought, you know what? Damon's a pretty aggressive guy. He's he has a lot of anger, and it's because of all those damn carbs. And I thought Fale, he's probably so pissed off because he's eating too many carbs. That's my theory as to why he's treating this poor ring announcer like this.
It had nothing to do with a terrible childhood.
No, it's carbs.
Okay. Oh, carbs.
It's all carbs.
All that pizza, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right. It wasn't those terrible Christmases. It's the pizza I'm eating.
Yep. It's all the dough.
All right. Well, listen. I don't doubt it. I do enjoy a carb or two. You wouldn't be proud of me. I did have. I had a bacon, egg, and cheese on a jalapeno cheddar bagel. Let me tell you something.
That sounds delicious.
It was fucking awesome. just the right amount of little heat in the bagel. Oh, it's nice. I like spicy. I think spicy is my favorite flavor.
I'm with you there, but
I got a little heat.
Let's get to this match, which was basically all about building up Yoshihashi for his big match against Kenny Omega, which is going to take place on the 22nd in Hiroshima. Yoshihashi picking up the win with his new pump handle driver finisher, which he calls Karma, getting the win over the Tokyo Pimp, Yujiro.
Yeah, we think we all saw the handwriting on the wall with that one when that lineup was announced. Getting back to my original point, we got to get over some new stars. Yoshihashi's flavor of the week. Got to make sure that he looks strong going into his match with Kenny Omega. He had started out as per normal Bullet Club shenanigan, toss on the outside, brawl, brawl, brawl. They brawl in the crowd. I'll tell you what, this show and the previous Road 2 show, you know who I got to tip my cap to? Is that your IWGP heavyweight champion. He takes a lot of heat in these matches. Like, he's the guy that's getting worked over a lot of the time. And it's very easy for him as your champion to, I don't want to say take a night off. He's not taking nights off, it doesn't feel like. Like him and Fale, I think, have a nice chemistry. It's like him, you know, him and Fale and Tanahashi and Fale, they just have this nice little chemistry that they seem to be able to feed off of. They know what to do with each other and know how to work with each other. And not many people can say that with Fale. They have a nice little dynamic. Go ahead, I'm sorry. But Okada did, I think, this night and the previous Road 2 show, he's the one getting worked over the majority of the match. And to me, he doesn't really have to.
I have a theory about what's going to happen in this Okada versus Fale match.
CM Punk comes out?
No, it has nothing to do with CM Punk, actually.
Shawn Michaels?
No. No.
Matt Stryker comes out? I'm going to hit all the top.
You're naming all my guys.
Like your sweet spot.
Jesse right, Ventura comes out.
Okay, all right.
No, but I'll mention it later. But
no, mention it now.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that we actually this isn't. I will admit this is not an original thought. It's one of our listeners on Twitter brought this up, but it kind of got
it? You know. Do you remember who?
It kind of got me thinking. I don't remember who because it was a couple weeks ago. But what if Fale? No, it wasn't S-Bach. It wasn't our buddy S-Bach. But what if Fale beats Okada in Hiroshima, which will lead to a title match at the New Zealand show that they have. So Bad Luck Fale getting the big title shot in his home country.
I like the thought that's not going to happen. I mean, that those New Zealand shows are they're Ring of Honor shows. But let's make sure that we understand. And again, I feel great for the people in New Zealand. They're going to see New Japan. I think they've been there before, but it's not often. It's not like they go there all the time. But they're not going to drop the major belt for Fale to come back home to, you know, be the champion and defend the belt.
Well, no. I wasn't talking about that.
What are you talking about?
No, because this match that Okada and Fale are having, that's not a title match. So I'm saying...
That's right. Why is that?
I guess Fale didn't earn a title match, even though he beat him in the G1. I guess Fale is the only one that doesn't get a title shot. So what I'm seeing is Fale beats Okada again here and then earns a title shot in New Zealand. That's what I'm saying.
Ah. And then he does a job in his home country.
Right.
who's booking this? Vince McMahon?
Maybe.
Nah, I don't think that's... I think again, these shows in New Zealand, I don't want to discredit them and I don't want to, you know... But they're Ring of Honor shows. You know what I mean? It's like that's expect that kind of booking. They're not gonna book things here to satisfy those shows. I just don't see that happening.
Can we talk about Will Ospreay for a second?
We sure can. You love to talk about that, Will.
I do love Will Ospreay, but there's been a lot of talk about him at the ripe old age of 23 being already pretty beat up and having a lot of nagging injuries. I know that this was the first show that he wrestled since Bola. I think that he took a break after that. Did he really need to do everything that he did in this match? Because he did a lot. He packed a lot of flippy-do spots in here. Did he need to do all that in this six-man tag?
Okay. Well, I hear people's complaints. Not complaints, but people's concerns. He's going to do what he's going to do.
He could have just done a moonsault. I would have been happy.
He could have, but he's Will Ospreay. He's a 20-something-year-old kid that even though he is banged up, he's still going to wrestle his style. I mean, nobody's saying that way. Well, people do say, but, you know, what about Ishii? What about Shibata? You know?
Well, those guys don't know any better.
Okay, well, okay. Well, I think the same can be said about Will. You know, everybody's banged up. Everybody's hurt. There's not a pro wrestler alive that's not feeling something come Sunday morning.
But to be 23 years old and having like nerve issues.
Listen, I got a bum shoulder. I got this little disc in my shoulder. You know that little joint between your shoulder blade and your actual shoulder? There's like this little piece of cartilage that's in there that kind of cushions. There was something fucked up. It moved, right? And I get this pain in my shoulder. So I'm hurting too, Colin. I'm doing a podcast, right?
Well, hey, I've got a bad spine, so.
See? All right. Well, everybody's working injured. So let's not put fucking Will Ospreay on a pedestal, all right? All right.
I just wanted to get your take on that. If he's maybe doing a little bit too much.
They said the same thing about Liger in the 90s. They said the same thing about Dynamite Kid. Well, I mean, maybe that's a bad example.
That's a terrible example.
Yeah, you know what? You're probably right. Slow down, Will. You know, you don't want to wind up like Dynamite.
Yeah, they're my point.
You win that one. Yes. Advantage, Colin.
Alrighty, the next match, we have got another six-man tag featuring the team of Michael Elgin, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Ryusuke Taguchi, taking on Los Ingobernables de Japón.
I mean... We've seen this 20,000 times, right? 20,000 times? That's a number, right?
I did like the spot where everybody, you know, Taguchi's doing his ass-based offense. Then he gets Tanahashi to do it. Then he gets Elgin to do it. That was kind of fun. Taguchi does the Yuji Nagata armbar spot, only he crosses his eyes instead. We got comedic Taguchi in this match. Which should have been a clue that he was the one taking the fall here. He ended up tapping out to Sonata's skull and submission. And then after the match, Naito goes after Elgin's leg. They're really building that up, you know, towards their match on the 25th.
Yeah, I think this match was, everybody pairs up with their respective match day partners and, you know, does their shit. Look, Tanahashi didn't do much in this match. Elgin did enough to not, you know, get thrown under a bus. It was and Los Ingobernables is Los Ingobernables. This is the same match we've seen 1,000 times. It's 3.5 stars, right? People I don't want to say fawn over these type of matches, but I think they give it a lot more love than I do. That's for sure.
You would really give it 3.5 stars?
I think these are average. Wow. Maybe three.
Like to me, like 3.5 stars. That's a very good match.
Yeah, an average match, you know, is two would be 2.5.
I'm giving this 2.5.
Really, I'll go 3. I'll go 3. I don't think
generous, Damon.
Yeah, listen, I'm a loving man. I'll throw a star here and there wherever I can. You know, anybody needs you need a star? Give me a call. Give me a holler.
All right, our semi-main event for the evening. We've got the never openweight champion, Katsuyori Shibata, defending against Bobby Fish.
Okay, now we're talking.
Yeah, here we go. I thought that this was a very good match. This is the kind of match. Let me just give you a little UFC analogy here.
I don't know what that is.
I ordered this UFC 203 gimmick, whatever it was, to see Punk fight. Then I had a friend over, and he's a guy I work with. We talk MMA a lot because that's what he watches. Now, if I was going to
wait a minute, what, you had somebody over your house?
Yeah, imagine. And God, that was the first time in like since Christmas, I want to say.
I was about to say, I've never heard of anyone coming over your house.
Yeah, it rarely happens, but this was a special occasion. But all the right. point that I'm trying to make here is this is a guy who doesn't watch any pro wrestling. He's an MMA guy. But if I was going to sit him down and show him a pro wrestling match to kind of show him my world, what I'm into,
yeah.
Here's like an example of a good match that you could show a MMA follower where they would be kind of like, huh, okay, this is kind of cool. I can get into this.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a match where you would win over anybody in when it comes out. I think there's better examples.
Yeah, there are better examples, like O'Reilly versus Kushida probably is a better example, and Ishii versus Shibata. But you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Listen, I think this is hands down the best match of the show.
Absolutely.
I think Shibata should not. You talk about Ospreay, you know, not doing shit. You know, there was talk that this match wasn't even going to happen.
Yeah, Shibata's having some spine issues.
Yeah, I mean, spine issues. And then there were some spots there where, I mean, they took advantage of that in the sense of, you know, some dangerous neck dropping and head dropping suplexes and things that looked a little dangerous just for any pro wrestling match they did in this match as well. Shibata's a nut. He's an absolute kook because... You know, sometimes I don't want pro wrestling to get this way, and sometimes I think it gets this way. And here's where I'm going to get at, where you're working the fans to the point where you're telling us that he's hurt and he's maybe not as hurt. I'm not saying Shibata isn't hurt because from every indication and every person that I've talked to a person. They've said that Shibata is just hanging on by scotch tape at this point.
Like Ishii was in 2013.
It's worse. I think it's worse. So I'm not saying that he's faking it. Like, I'm not saying that they're making it worse than what it is. But, man, it's hard for me to fathom. And again, I joke about my stupid shoulder issue, but it's annoying. It wakes me up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah, no.
I wake up and I'm like, oh, I'm up. It hurts.
Right.
I can't imagine the tolerance of pain that he has to have to be able to not only just get out of bed, but to work a match in this style. This was a hard hitting. Like Bobby Fish was just cracking away at these kicks at Shibata's chest. You know, the spot where Shibata's like, give me more. He's on his knees, whack, yep. You know, bam, another one, boom, another one. I mean, you look at those shots and his whole upper body, you know, he's absorbing the blow, but his whole body's reverberating. Like it's just like there's only so many times your body can be that shock absorber and take those type of shots. It's just and he comes in with the mummified shoulder, right? He's got more tape on him than, you know, than a mummy. That's the joke.
I get it.
Thank you. Thank you. I am subtle, aren't I? it's an amazing thing that Shibata. The match was good. I wouldn't go so far as to say it was a great match. It was a really good match.
3.5 stars.
I'd go higher than that. I'd put it. I'd give it a 4. I think it's a four.
Wow, you think it's
four?
No, I think it's a 3.5.
Yeah?
You're much more generous with the stars than
I guess
I am.
So, yeah. I mean, maybe I'm kind of working myself into, man, Shibata deserves some fucking credit for even getting, you know.
He does.
On a 3.5 star match, if considering the injury is what it is. So maybe I'm being very generous. Maybe I am. Maybe I am. But I thought this was a good match. I thought this was a real good match. And Bobby, how do you think Bobby Fish did? Let me ask you this. We're talking a lot about Shibata, but Bobby Fish carried his weight here too.
Yeah,
right?
I thought that he did great in this spot. I think that, you know, we knew what this was building to. We knew that this was building to Kyle O'Reilly challenging Shibata, but this was probably the biggest spot that Bobby Fish has been in as a singles competitor in New Japan. You know?
In New Japan, exactly.
Yeah. You know, he has challenged for the ROH World Title before, but you know, as far as being a singles competitor on a New Japan card, I can't really think of any spot bigger than this. And I think that he did a great job with it. I think that him and Shibata really have a good dynamic together.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to O'Reilly. I definitely looking for O'Reilly Shibata match. That should be fun. I mean, if Shibata can stay alive.
Can we talk about the headbutt?
Go ahead, dude. I mean, again, this is another perfect example of what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. So basically, Shibata hits like a German suplex and a penalty kick, but didn't get the cover. Then Bobby Fish goes for his brainbuster finish, but Shibata counters that and just grabs his skull, and you just hear this clunk.
Yeah.
Just this sickening thud, and I thought, oh god, he did it again. And sure enough, you know, you see the blood trickling down Shibata's face, and he puts him in the sleeper, hits the penalty kick, gets the win. But man, how you can't do that. It seems like he's doing this all the time now. This is a regular spot.
It's an arm drag for him at this point.
Yeah, in a Shibata match.
This is him grabbing a hold.
Yeah. Working the neck.
Like trapezes. I'm going to be honest here. I thought that was completely unnecessary.
I think it was too.
Like, not even just unnecessary for his health. Because, again, I'm not that guy. Do it. You're an adult. You make your own decisions.
It's very libertarian of you, Damon.
Thank you very much. I think. but in the context of the match, I'm kind of questioning why. I mean, you didn't have to do that.
No, it didn't really add anything.
No, it wasn't. I don't know. Just the placement of it was weird. Yeah, I'm in agreement. That was an unnecessary headbutt. Yes, you got the cool visual of fucking Shibata once again with the single. He doesn't bleed. Like he only has one blood pour apparently, right? Because it's just he doesn't bleed like you
it's
know,
not like
you,
a Ric Flair.
Oh yeah, yeah. Where it's just like, you know, yeah, we know. Yeah, it's just that one trickle, but it is fucking dramatic, isn't it? So again, it just adds an extra layer of he's batshit crazy. He's just a nutter. God bless him, because he doesn't have to do what he's doing, and I worry about him. You talk about Ospreay and being worried about how he's going to survive in his, you know, 30s and 40s. I worry about Shibata. I don't think Shibata's going to remember his 20s and his 30s and 40s. He's not going to have any recollection of this.
You know, I said that we probably knew the outcome of this match going in, you know, that this was all building towards Kyle O'Reilly, which it was. But I will say there was a spot in this match where I genuinely thought that there was a chance that Shibata could tap when Bobby Fish had him in that leg hold.
Yeah.
I thought that was very dramatic.
I think that's what makes the Never title a little bit interesting, is that, you know, Shibata, listen, I sat at Ring of Honor and I saw him, and again, not necessarily tap, but pass out or whatever you want to call it, to Kyle O'Reilly. So Shibata's a guy that could lose to anybody. I think that's what makes him special too, is that nothing would shock me. Like, I didn't go into it thinking, oh, Bobby Fish, there's no way he's going to win. I leaned Shibata, definitely, but there was definite possibilities a Fish could win. Sure, why not? It's, you know, Shibata is not one of those overly protected guys. Well,
hey, by the way, speaking of Shibata being able to be beaten by anybody, shouldn't Yano earn a never open weight title shot? I mean, I know that's something you would be looking forward to.
I wouldn't be surprised if you see that on a Noah show, an upcoming Noah show. I wouldn't be surprised if that's in the works.
Yeah, keep your eyes peeled for that. But
in front of 400, they're not doing well. Noah, they're drawing flies. Yeah, they've had shows 500 people, Colin, 400 people. I mean, they're literally doing high school gyms. It's not a good scenario there in Noah.
So after the match, O'Reilly enters the ring and cuts his promo, says he's coming after Shibata's NEVER title. And when do you think we'll see this? King of Pro Wrestling?
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
I think it would have to be because, I mean, that's, at least to me, that's their biggest pay-per-view. Yes, I still use that word, before Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, but they have lots of other smaller shows. Could they stick that on top? I mean, they again, this is a perfect example of a building where they did that, where they had middle-tier guys headlining in the show. I think they could put the NEVER title on one of these smaller lead-up shows.
I don't think we're going to see that, though. I think this is going to be a King of Pro Wrestling, because remember, Kevin Kelly and King Carino are coming over for that again, so that's a good match for them to call.
It is.
An ROH talent versus a New Japan talent.
Yeah, I could see it. But I think you can go either way. I wouldn't be shocked if this is on a smaller house show, spot show kind of thing, and where they need to pop a house.
Yeah, probably won't even be on NJPW World.
Nah,
it'll be on Samurai TV.
Nah, it'll be there. They won't do that to you.
Alrighty, so finally we arrive at the main event, Bushi challenging Kushida for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. Two things I want to say before we get into this match. Number one, I think I called it on our last episode. I said that Bushi was walking away as the champion.
You did.
I said that these destruction shows were going to be big for LIJ, and I think that more is yet to come. The second thing, I texted you on Friday, I think. And I said, Damon, boy, I'm not too pumped about this title match. I think that it has a 3-star ceiling.
Well, it hit the ceiling.
It did hit the ceiling.
Yeah.
Our worst fears came true.
Look, it wasn't a horrible match.
No, it wasn't a horrible match. But, you know, we had the LIJ shenanigans on the outside. We had, you know, I tweeted out, I guess Red Shoes thought that Kushida's pen burst.
Look, here's the thing. Shenanigans has happened throughout the history of New Japan. It's not like shenanigans has never happened before, where this is like 93 All Japan, right? Shenanigans happens. So, yes, I'd like to see it minimalized, but I can't say that this is, you know, this is all brand new. Shenanigans happens. Two. Yeah, again, it makes everybody look like total boobs. And there was a time where, you know, Kushida had Bushi in a hoverboard lock, and he's got his face covered in mist. And you could see Red Shoes tried to position himself, and even Kushida, too, to kind of turn his head the other way, and Red Shoes is in Bushi's face, kind of trying to hear the submission and a tap out, to at least make it somewhat believable that Red Shoes has no idea that he's covered in mist. My wife walks into this, sees this match, walks in, she goes, and she I guess she's familiar from seeing other matches, you know, the mask guy against Kushida. I think she likes Kushida. I think what's happening.
Oh, who
doesn't? Right. But her point was, why doesn't he just wear fucking goggles?
I mean, logically.
Right.
I mean, if you're going up against Bushi, you know, that there's a good chance you're going to get sprayed in the face with mist.
Yeah, we're like one of those, you know, how the basketball players used to wear in the 80s, you know, Kurt Rambis or whatever his name is. Yeah, we're little goggles. Yeah. We're little swimming goggles.
Yeah.
It does make Kushida look like just a total fucking geek.
Yeah, I'm over Red Shoes now.
And now he's your champion. Bushi's your champion. So, you know, you'll see more bullshit. You'll see more hijinks. Kushida had a nice little run with his belt, right?
Yeah, he did. When did he win this? At Wrestle Kingdom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he beat Kenny Omega for his... it was his third title reign. Am I right?
Yeah, he had the one quick one, right?
Yep.
The concussions. Look, I'm not saying he's not going to regain it. I mean, but here's the thing. So aside from the Kushida chase, to me, this screams Kushida wins it back. You know what I mean? Because who else is winning this belt?
Yeah, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head.
Will Ospreay? To me, a Will Ospreay-Bushi match is I'm zero excited for it.
Yeah. Now, Ospreay versus Kushida 3, that's a dome match to me.
I agree. You know who I was also thinking about? And Kame Itachi, I don't know what his status is, but isn't it about time for him to come home?
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Isn't it about time we see him come home? I know he's got his Ring of Honor commitments and all that stuff, but I don't know how long that lasts. I'm curious. I won't be surprised to see Kama Itachi swing back before a dome. It's a possibility. But Bushi as champ, not going to lie, does nothing for me.
Who do you think that the mysterious Ingober Noble is?
There's another one. Bushi. I have no fucking idea. I mean, right now, the guy that's wearing the mask is not the guy that's going to be the guy, right? I think it's really just a placeholder. You know, one of the young fucking lions are under the mask right now.
Right.
But I don't know where they're going with that. I haven't heard. And truth be told, I haven't asked anybody.
I think some of the names that we tossed around were Virgil, Scott Norton.
Scott Norton, right.
Six.
Okay, right. All possibilities. All possibilities. I think it's Cody Hall underneath the mask. That's
yeah,
what I think. It looks just like him, right?
Shrunk a little bit, but...
Well, listen, he was banged up. He was resting, and you lose height when you recover. You didn't know that?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, one time, Andre the Giant broke his ankle. He shrunk down to 4'7". That's unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, rehabbed and got back up to 7 foot. Yeah, it's a true story.
I'm sure that's in the Observer somewhere. But,
yeah, you wrote about that.
But anyway, yeah, we saw that we saw the shenanigans. We saw the mist. The match itself, we did see some cool things. How about when Bushi actually countered a Kimura attempt from Kushida into a Canadian destroyer? I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So Bushi hits the Codebreaker from the top rope. Kushida kicks out. He hits it the second time, gets the pinfall, and Bushi is your new IWGP Junior Heavyweight title, blows mist at the title, holds it up, and
the crowd yawned.
And off we go.
The crowd yawned. You look at the crowd? The crowd was dead for that.
Yeah.
Did you see the one guy? There's one guy in the front row, a little heavier.
Oh, the older gentleman?
The older gentleman, a little heavier, khakis, white shirt.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, he was asleep. Right, watch it. There's a guy there, and he's out. There's nobody sitting next to him. He's in the front row, right on the aisle. He's asleep. He's a fucking sleep. Nobody cared for this. Nobody cares for Bushi. Does anybody care for Bushi? I mean, listen, take him out of Los Ingobernables, right? I think people like him because he's like Buddy Roberts at this point with the Freebirds. You know, like nobody gave a fuck about Buddy Roberts. Everybody, you know, like either Michael Hayes or Terry Gordy.
He's like Mongo.
Oh, the horseman, right?
Yes.
I got him like, what the fuck is a Mongo?
Mongo, oh, man.
I got you. Okay.
Maybe Mongo's the fifth guy.
That's it. That'd be great.
Wouldn't that be something?
Mongo McMichael. what a terrible time in pro wrestling.
Anyway, that was Destruction in Tokyo. Not a bad show, not a great show, just a show.
A show. I'm full agreement.
So why don't we give our predictions for some of the main matches on the upcoming Destruction card. So the next one is on Thursday the 22nd. We've got Destruction in Hiroshima. Mm-hmm. And let's take a look at our main matches here. We do have the IWGP heavyweight titles on the line. The Briscoes defending against the Bucks. I think I made it pretty clear that I think that the Bucks are walking away as dual IWGP tag champs.
You did. You did make that point clear. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I like the fact that we're seeing juniors and heavies together. Got no problem with that. This should be a really good match. These guys have worked plenty of times together before. They know each other. They got a little bit of a spotlight. This could be a Ring of Honor match. My only concern is if the crowd is, you know, we always complain about the crowd not really getting that whole vibe, that whole Ring of Honor PWG vibe. That's my only concern, that might, you know, might have many people here in the West kind of, you know, wish it was a little bit more exciting. The match should be good, though. Looking forward to that. What else we got?
Speaking of a ring of...
A scale of 1 to 10 we doing? Are we doing a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah, sure.
I'll give a solid... I'm into this. I'm ready to go with this. I'll give it a 7.
I'll give it an 8.
Oh, have to go one higher, do you?
Yep, okay. Yep. One up in Damon.
All right.
Speaking of Ring of Honor PWG matches, we've got Will Ospreay challenging Adam Cole for the ROH World Title. I'm really looking forward to this. Actually, I'm a big Adam Cole fan. I'm a big Will Ospreay fan. I think these two guys will work well together. Do I see Ospreay walking away as champion? No, of course not. Adam Cole just won it. He's definitely going into final battle in December as champion, I think. So it should be a good match, though.
Will Ospreay wins the belt here.
Wow, hot take.
No, that's not. I'm joshing. This is Adam Cole's debut, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Quite a way to debut.
Sure is.
Let me say this will be a good match. You're a bigger Adam Cole guy than I am.
Baby, yes, I am.
Don't say that to me. yeah. I'm into it.
Damon's lukewarm about this match.
Here's the thing. I bet you it would be good. I don't know. I just don't. I'm not a big Adam Cole. Let's go. I'll give it a 7. No, let's see what he's got. Let's see what we can do here. 7. I don't know how much time they're going to give him, though. I'm curious as to that. But
5 minutes.
Get in and get out. A 7. I'll give it a 7.
All right. We've got Kazuchika Okada versus Bad Luck Fale in a non-title match. I'm saying Fale wins, and then he goes to New Zealand to challenge for the title.
The fact that it's non-title really screams at me that Fale's winning this. Because why not? It does make Okada look a little bit soft, vulnerable, which might be a good thing.
S-A-W-F-T. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I need you to apologize to the listeners.
I'm sorry for anyone who I offended.
There you go. Probably should have said that weeks ago. Look, I'm not, I don't know. It's definitely Fale's could do what you're saying. Again, I can't see them building around doing it for that reason. But it's a non-title match. I'll go Fale. A 6 on my excitement scale.
4 yeah. On my excitement scale.
All right.
Then we arrive at our main event, and this is for the Tokyo Dome briefcase. Kenny Omega putting his title shot at Wrestle Kingdom on the line against Mr. Yoshihashi.
Well, look, I know I'm looking forward to a Yoshihashi main event at the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, hey, you're going to get your tickets soon, right?
Oh.
When are they going on sale? October?
No. So the fan club stuff went on sale, right? So we tried to get through New Japan, and it wasn't happening. So we found somebody that we had connections with that was in the fan club. And so there's a lottery for the tickets. So the lottery was last Wednesday, right? So you have to submit yourself to the lottery, and then you don't even know if you got tickets yet, right?
This is complicated.
So it is. So then you get selected as a lottery to be eligible to buy tickets, and then you have to buy the tickets, right? 500 beans a ticket.
Wow.
$500 a ticket. But I get to keep the chair, Colin, which is going to cost $100 to ship from fucking Japan.
That's a nice little consolation prize, I guess.
Right. I get to spend another $100 for the chair to get it sent home. But yeah, so I don't right now. I mean, we got to see if we won the lottery. That's really what I can't believe I'm saying that. Yeah, we got to see if we won the lottery.
So hopefully you'll be there to see Yoshihashi challenge CM Punk for the IWGP heavyweight title.
Yeah. Kenny Omega's won this match. I think we can all agree, right?
Yeah.
Right?
And hey, look, going back a year, if we would have suggested that Yoshihashi would main event a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. It is crazy, isn't it? Yeah. All pink hair Yoshihashi.
Yeah. Hey,
old
I mean,
candy head.
I don't know what to say about that, but
you don't like the look?
I'm not sure how I feel about it yet.
Nah, gotta get used to it.
Yeah, I need some more time. I need some more soak time.
Soak time.
Yeah,
I'm stealing that. I like that. All right, yeah, I don't like it. I'll tell you flat out, it looks like garbage. He needs a makeover. He needs some help. He needs a new gimmick.
He just killed all of his chances here at. Winning this briefcase.
He's not winning the fucking briefcase. Come on. Like we said, Kenny Omega needs easy. I don't want to say easy, but he had to lose some matches to credible opponents that, you know, that when he beats is not going to, you know, kill that person. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to beat Tanahashi in a briefcase match. He's going to beat an Okada a Yoshihashi or a Tenzan or a Kojima or something along those lines. So this is exactly what we all said was going to happen. There's no fucking chance in hell that Yoshihashi's winning this match.
Alrighty, yep. Kenny Omega obviously walking away with his briefcase intact. And now we move on to Sunday the 25th. Did I mention I hate Sunday morning shows?
Yeah, it does make things hectic around here, doesn't it? It does.
Not a fan of them. But nevertheless, let's talk about some of the main matches here. There's only a few. Let's talk about this never open weight six-man tag title match.
The what? I don't even know what that is.
So,
we have a what?
Yeah. We do.
Who's the champs? Real quick, who's the champs?
The champs are Seidel, Ricochet, and Kojima.
You hear that, Kevin Kelly? All right. Just making sure.
And they will be defending against the Young Bucks and Adam Cole. So, wow. So, not only are the Bucks are going to have, I don't know how they're going to get through customs with the amount of belts that they're going to have. They're going to have the IWGP Junior titles, the heavyweight titles, the never openweight titles, the PWG tag titles. They're going to have it all.
They don't have enough waist for these belts.
No, they're not big guys.
No. You think they win these belts?
Yeah, I really do.
Do you think they really walk away with all these belts?
Yeah, I honestly do. Hot take.
I mean, look, stranger things have happened, but I mean, and it really, on the whole universe of pro wrestling, well, I guess it does kind of matter. I mean, that would be really confusing. It'd be like the great Sasuke. Or Sasuke, or however you want to put the emphasis, put, you know, all the belts, you know, or Ultimo Dragon, you know, all the junior belts.
I think they do it.
I'm going to say they don't do it. I say they don't do it because then Adam Cole is going to be your champion.
Yeah, Adam Cole will be 1/3 of the never open weight tag champions.
Whew. Holy fuck! What kind of world we live in?
It's crazy.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say a successful defense from Ricochet, Matt Seidel, and Kojima.
And our main event for Destruction in Kobe, we've got the IWGP Intercontinental Champion, Michael Elgin, defending against Tetsuya Naito. I'm going with a Los Ingobernables sweep on these Destruction shows. I'm saying Naito walks away with the title, and then that builds to a Naito versus Tanahashi match at the Dome in January.
I'm on board with this, and I think this is where we're going. I think this has been a nice run, and a pleasant run. I think a very good run for Michael Elgin as Intercontinental Champ, right?
Yeah, good first run, sure.
Scale of 1 to 10, with Nakamura being a 10 and La Sombra being a 1. No. MVP being a 1.
Seeing Andrade Almas.
Where would you put Michael Elgin?
I'd give him a 6.
Okay. I'd give him a little bit higher. I'm going to give him a 7 or an 8.
Wow.
I think he's had a really good run. You don't think he's had a the shit with Omega was fantastic.
I think part of it is that this IC title was so synonymous with Nakamura that it's like almost like if anyone else is wearing it, it's weird. Like, I don't know if that makes any sense, but I don't know. To me, Elgin, I mean, I guess looking at it, you know, he won the big ladder match against Omega. Who did he defend it against? He didn't have a lot of defenses.
No.
With this title. So in that regard, I think it's been kind of an uneventful title reign for him. But, I mean, hey, look, it's his first major title reign. I'm sure he'll have plenty more.
Let's put it this way. I don't think he devalued the belt. Like, I don't think putting it on him and his run of it, and it wasn't a huge run. I mean, it was on a long time. But I don't think he did anything to, like it's not like he gave it to the fucking Miz. You know what I mean?
The Miz is looking to come to New Japan, by the way.
Stop it.
To elevate his career.
He needs it. I think he did a good job. I would give it a 7. I'm fine with it. I think he did a fine job.
It was fine.
Yep. Good. All right. But yes, he loses here, and Naito wins, and off we go. Right to Wrestle Kingdom, and I think you're right on board with the Tanahashi Naito at the Dome. I think I would be happy with that, along with an Omega.
CM Punk.
Oh, will you stop it. being led by Amber or AJ Lee,
yep,
right?
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Remember I said that.
I am going to remember you said that. It's ridiculous. I'm going to put it on your birthday card next year. Remember when you said, ugh.
Hey, at least I'm getting a birthday card.
That's a good point. Well, listen, you know, I offered to buy the fucking ticket to...
I know. I'm just...
Listen, don't make me feel bad.
I'm being facetious.
I'm not your girlfriend, all right? I'm not going to buy you shit. I offered.
Right? All righty. Well, there you have it, folks. Those are your destruction cards coming up this Thursday and Sunday. And, of course, we're going to be back here next Sunday, same time. No more breaks. We will be here next Sunday to review both of these shows. So that should be a good bit of fun. And, Damon, any other thoughts before we go home here?
One last thought. So, again, we're finalizing Australia, kids, right? So all of our Australian listeners. So it's becoming a little bit of a pride thing. So this is going to be like the second week of November that I'm there. And I guess I will officially announce that I do want to do a meetup, right? And it's more of a challenge because my friends – actually, my wife's friends that we're going with are busting my balls, guys and gals. Busting my balls. And here's why. Because they're thinking this is going to be like some fucking, I don't know. Like there was an over-under number set. I don't think anybody's going to show. Like, I don't want to do something and be like, we're going to have an official meetup and come and we'll talk wrestling. And nobody shows up. And then I'll just be embarrassed and my wife's just going to laugh at me. You know what I mean? And her friends. So... I'm begging people, if you live in Sydney or in the Sydney area, and you live in Melbourne or the area, when I announce this date, and again, kind of circle it around the middle week of the second week of November. I don't know what day, I don't know where yet, but we're gonna do something, and I'm gonna bring shit. Like, I'm gonna bring shit to give away, like cool shit, like fucking like a Tanahashi 8x10. I might even bring my Honma T-shirt that's signed. I'll fucking bring that and give it away. But I want more than, like, I said the over under number. I said 4. I said if 4 people fucking come, I'd be thrilled, right? And they're like, no, more people will come. I don't know if they will, they won't. Who knows? But I want people to come. So we'll definitely do something. I'll announce it. I'll bring shit. We'll have a good time. We'll just hang out, have a couple beers,
host a few pints.
Yep, exactly. I'm good at that. So again, we're working on that. So if you're in Australia, again, Sydney, Melbourne. Let me know. And I just found out, I don't know the exact fucking dates, Colin, but one of my favorite bands, Crowded House.
Crowded House.
Yeah, they're getting back together and they're doing a show at the Sydney Opera House, like outside their last show that they did. They're an Australian band. The last show they did was at the Sydney Opera House, outdoor, like out in front of it. And it was like some crazy amount. I'm going to throw out a number, like 60,000 people that were there. It was crazy. Their last show.
Never heard of them.
Yes, you did. They did Don't Dream It's Over. Hey now, don't dream.
Never heard it.
You fucking heard it before.
Never heard it.
You son of a bitch. So anyway, it's right at the same time, but I think I'm in Bali. And I'm like, fuck, I want to fucking see coronavirus. All right, so anyway, again, Australia people, stay tuned. Don't let me down. Let's do something. Let's have some fun. All right, wrap it up.
Alrighty, so we just want to thank all of our great listeners, as always, for tuning in, supporting us. Keep the comments coming in. Keep those 5-star reviews coming in on iTunes. Helps us to move up in the rankings. Remember, just go to newjapanpurocast.com. Links to everything are there. Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, a variety of ways to listen to us. And you can listen to us right there on the website as well. Each and every episode is right there embedded in the page. So, you can also listen to us on the great Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Just visit voicesofwrestling.com. We're up on there as well. And they've also got a ton of shows for whatever kind of pro wrestling you are into. So on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys here next Sunday to talk about these last two Destruction shows. Have a good week.